that topic for the last, I think, I don't know, we've been talking about preparation. What are we going to do while still waiting for Jesus Christ? Is that the one that you guys are interested? Amen. Well, I heard that September is the month where all the highlights of Christianity and the world are being on that month. So I think it's good to prepare ourselves, don't we? Yeah. So that's what we're gonna touch this morning. And I just want you to open your Bible with me on the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Not on Thessalonians or Ezekiel. I'll go with the book of Acts. I think I'm safe on that one because there's not much of a theological thing in there. Are you there already, book of Acts? Huh? Book of Acts, and we're going to just read chapter 1. 1 to 4. Are you there? Amen. Well, this thing doesn't work, eh? My brother-in-law gave me this iPad and... Huh? Password? I have to write the password, but... There you go. So that tells you that your pastor is... What do you call this? Technologically... Challenge. Amen. Are you there already? Okay, I'm still. Okay, book of Acts. Are you all there? Book of Acts, chapter 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. So, When the person is dying, he give you this like a last will and that he wants you to do, right? He wants you to do. So he said, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my father promised, which you have heard me speak about. So we'll park it there. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning, and as we explore your word today, Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to anoint us, Lord, and to open our minds and our thoughts, and as we study your word, Lord God, this morning, especially the word that you have given us before you left earth, Lord, went to heaven. And Father, we thank you this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Well, it says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait. Brother Vic, wait. Say that with me, wait. Wait. I think that's the hardest part for a Christian life. Waiting. But you know what we wait? When we go to the grocery store, we wait. Wherever you go, you wait. We go, even in the bathroom, you have to wait. And waiting is, that's the hardest part that Christians, that you and me, have to struggle. And this reminds me about the story about this Louisiana game warden. And he had been tracking this guy, this famous Cajun poacher. You know what's a Cajun poacher? This guy, Cajun, it's come from the word, I think, Italy or from, you know where they speak the French? No, they migrated here in northern Maine or in Canada, but then they migrated in southern Louisiana, and then they stay there. There's a lot of French family there, and this Cajun poacher, they will go fishing without a license, and especially at night. So this guy, Cajun Brodeau, he is a famous poacher or fishing at night. And one night, this warden, game warden, he went and stumbled this place of Cajun poacher, and he went up to the roof so that he might be able to catch this guy in the middle of doing something. Well, he's been staying the whole night, and he was even, he doesn't want to get noticed by this poacher. So even the mosquitoes, he was able to resist it without making a noise. And hold through the night, he's been there on the top of the roof, watching this guy until he heard some noise that this guy is cooking some fried eggs in the morning. It's already morning at dawn. He heard this guy cooking some scrambled eggs and the brewing of coffee, fresh coffee. He could not resist. And then after this guy, this poacher, cooked, he went at the door and says, "Okay, game warden, why don't you come down and eat breakfast with me?" So the game warden was surprised that how did Brodeau, this famous poacher, knows that he's there. He said, "How did you know that I'm here?" "Well, I don't know, but what I do every morning, I do this." So the poacher, waiting, and he knows that even though he doesn't know whether the warden is there, but he do that every morning. He cook, he make coffee, and then he will say, "Okay, well, you're there, come down and have breakfast with me." And I believe that Christians should have that kind of spirit, that even though we don't know when he's coming, we always be ready. Amen? And thinking about ready, I remember about 10 years ago, I don't know if you guys remember that, 10 years ago, there's a group of 15 people from San Diego. Have you heard that? 15 of them, and they believe that Jesus Christ is coming. That was 10 years ago. Jesus Christ is coming. And they went to, there's a house that they all in bunk bed are ready. And everybody are going, these 15 people are going there. They have their passport ready, their luggages, and they all went there except for one. He was not allowed to get in. No, he was not allowed to get in. And do you know why he was not able to get in? Anybody? He's overweight. He has 2 balikbayan boxes. So he was not able to get in. Have you heard that 10 years ago? You heard about it? That's a true story. Huh? But anyway, we all should have that daily look for Christ's return. Amen. Every day we look forward. And we should have a daily looking for Christ's return. Amen. And for our attention, or for the purpose of our lesson this morning, waiting. I put an outline for us this morning that maybe you can follow through. My outliner is that waiting on the Lord requires patience. How many knows that it requires patience? Amen? It requires patience. And waiting means that we give God the benefits of the dark, of the doubt, that He knows what He is doing. Amen? That waiting means that we give God the benefits, that He knows what he is doing. And waiting is in God's way of saying if we will trust Him before we move forward. Right? That we should trust Him before we move forward. The second outline that we're going to look at is that waiting on God reminds us that God is in control. Amen? That God is in control. When we wait upon the Lord, we know that reminds us that God is in control. Waiting reminds me that I am not the one in charge. Amen? And waiting reminds me that I am not, I am not God. And a lot of us, we think that we are God. We think that, man, if I can only put a rain of fire to this guy, I'll do. But we should remind us that I am not God. Number 3, waiting on the Lord allows God to do His work. Amen? God's timing is always the best. And God's still working in our lives. Right? There's no perfect people here this morning. Unless you are the aunt of Sister Rose. Her name is Perfecta. Okay? Number 4 is waiting on God increases my strength. Waiting on God, it gives me strength. It's even improved, enhanced my strength to the Lord. So those are the 4 things that we're going to study. We're going to study this morning. And no one else likes to wait. Right? No one else likes to wait. But we wait on traffic. We wait. We pull in line on that carpool lanes. And in grocery stores. And sometimes those foursome, right, Brother Way, Ken, those foursome ahead of us, man, we could not wait till they go to the next hole. And we played yesterday, and there's only 2 of us, and then there's 4 ahead of us, and said, why don't we just tell them that we let us go? Because there's 4 people ahead of us, and we cannot wait. So there's waiting. And but we waiting, it requires patience with patience. So the number one is that waiting on the Lord requires patience. In James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crops, and how patient he is for the autumns and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm." Amen?
So be patient. But you want it now, right? I like God to give me patience, but I want it now, right? That's the kind of theology that we have. Be patient, but be patient. See, we live by saying, don't just stand there. Do something, right? Well, God often says to us, don't just do something. Just stand there. See, we live that, but that waiting the Lord requires patience. Number the bullet point that we have is that waiting means to give God the benefits of the doubt that He knows what He is doing. Amen? That He knows what He's doing. And waiting is God's way of saying if we will trust Him before we move forward. Trust and patience is go hand in hand. Whether it has to do with our relationship, whether it has to do with our finances. And I know we spent time 5 weeks on financial fitness that we have studied. And I hope that there is some kind of a point where we learn even just one point that we have on that financial fitness. So there is a trust and that we have in our careers, in our dreams, in our churches. We have to trust that God knows what He's doing in those areas of our life. Amen? So, in our outline, what we're going to do while we are still waiting for God's return, first, waiting on the Lord requires patience, that we have to wait upon the Lord, be patient with what we is that we know that He knows what He is doing. And number two is that waiting on God reminds us that God is in control. Amen. And sometimes people ask, but what do I do while I'm waiting? That's a good question. That's why we are here. During those waiting times, take on an active role of being a watchman. So while we are waiting, you have to take the role of being a watchman. Be aware, be of what's going on the world today. And I believe that's why there's so many things that they say this is gonna happen next month, because people are aware, taking what's going on and makes things that, man, the signs and wonders of Christ coming is very imminent, and every day of our life, as we walk every day, you know, we're getting farther and farther from the material things of the world, and we are getting closer and closer to the things of God. And I believe, I like the way that the illustration of Sister Myra, that when we walk, remember that we walk, when we walk with the things of the world, we're getting here, but we are getting away from God. But as we walk on this side, we're getting closer to the Lord. Amen? So that's, I like the way, the illustration that you give it to us, but reminds us that waiting on God reminds us that God is in control of our lives. Amen? And being a watchman, you watch every night of anything that will attack us. Amen? You have to be watchful. We have to be careful that we should know what's going on, what's coming against us. Amen? Being a watchman. Here, listen to Psalms 130, verses 5 and 6. It says, I wait for the Lord, my soul's wait. Is it there, Herb? Psalms? No? No? Okay. Psalms 130, verses 5 and 6. I wait for the Lord, my soul's wait, declared the psalmist. I wait for Yahweh. I wait and put my hope in His word. I wait for the Lord more than watching for the morning, more than watchman for the morning. So the biblical times in the Bible, in the Old Testament, watchmen carefully guard the city. They are watch. They watch for the enemies who might attack. And they waited for the sun to come up. They were alert and obedient. Amen. Ready to respond when it's needed. That's another area. Ready to respond when it is needed. Amen. A watchman didn't make things happen. They don't control the rising of the sun. They could not even speed up the process of dawning of the new day. A watchman knew the difference between his job and God's job. So the first point that we have in waiting on God reminds us that God is control is that waiting reminds me that I'm not in charge. So I'm be patient. I'm in the waiting room. In the real issue of life, I'm not just waiting around. I'm waiting on God. Therefore, I can trust His wisdom and the timing. And I heard said this, the person who waits on God loses no time. Amen? When you wait upon the Lord, when you wait upon the Lord, you lose no time. Amen? Every time that you spend is being counted. Amen? Every time that you spend with God is very important, because I'm waiting for someone, and that someone is God. Amen? So number two, bullet number two, waiting reminds me that I am not God. As a man, I want to fix things. I want to fix my problems, my relationship with my wife, my career, the church, and fixing and controlling situations. Controlling situation, it might time to time, it might you're trying to expedite things. We're trying to if I can only just pull out each one of you, and he says you should mature, but you know it's not for you and me to see you are mature or not, because God is working in each one of our lives. Amen. God is the one in control, and waiting reminds me that I am not God. Amen. Are you not glad that Pastor Ed is not God? Man, probably.
You're not God.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, yeah. So, waiting number three. Waiting on the Lord allows God to do His work. See, when we wait upon the Lord, we let God do His work. Amen. Waiting on the Lord allows God to do His work. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Do we have that one, Herb? No, not either. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. I want you to look up that one in your Bible. Are you there? Okay. Waiting on the Lord allows God to do His work. Philippians 2, verse 13. I think it's good to see that, huh? I want you to look up that one. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Are you all there? I want you to start verse 12. Anyway, how many of you wants to be a Hollywood star? Nobody? No? If you want to be a star, you need to read this. If you want to be a, who is that that star? No. The star in the Hollywood? Chris Jenning, or what's that? Transgender? Bruce Jeaning, Chris Jeaning. And the whole family is stars, right? But listen to what Paul is saying here in Philippians. In chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling." So, whatever you're doing, continue that. Right? Continue, try to work out your salvation. It says, "With fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, who will in you to will and to act according to His good purpose." See, it is God that works in you, but all we have to do is submit ourselves to Him, and He will start working in our life. Right? So, waiting on the Lord allows God to do His work, to do His work in our life. And listen to this verse 14. "Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe." You see, you're gonna be a star. You know that to be in Hollywood, right? You're gonna be a star in Hollywood. No, in the universe. Woo! Hallelujah. See? Amen. So you're gonna be a star. God wants you to be a star. While you're waiting, continue your work out your salvation with fear and trembling, so that you're gonna be star. In Sunset Boulevard? No. In the universe. See? Because God is the one working in you. It's not Pastor Ed. Right? No, Pastor Ed. Right? Are you with me? See? What it is, God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. Amen. It is God that's doing you. See, it's not somebody else. It's not Pastor Ed. So do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation. Yeah, how many believe that we are in a crooked and depraved generation? Man, in a broad daylight. How many watch that somebody could just erase the data in the file? That's bunch of baloney, that you can just erase the data in the file and then you cannot access that anymore. See? You know what I'm saying? And that's where in a crooked and depraved generation. Amen? So that first bullet point on number 3 is that God's timing is always the best. Amen? God's timing is always the best. We have that in one herb. Waiting on the Lord allows God to do His work. God's timing is the best. Do we have that on air? God's timing. In the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. Okay, Habakkuk. We don't have that one air? Okay. There's a lot of there, huh? I want you to open your Bible. I know it's kind of hard to. I'll give you a little time to look up Habakkuk. Habakkuk in the Old Testament. Because it's good to see that God's timing is best. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 and 3.
Okay. Are you there? Habakkuk. Chapter 2. Verses 1 to 3. Are you there? Okay. Habakkuk. Chapter 2, verse 1. It says, I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the lookout tower. I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I should reply about my complaint. The Lord answered me. Look at that. The Lord answered him. Write down this vision. Clearly inscribe it on the tablets so one may easily read it. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It testifies about the end and will not lie. Though it delays, wait for it, since it will certainly come and not be late. See, we know that God is coming, but wait. Do you know that all the dress of the priest, the high priest, it's already set in motion, it's secured in Israel, that when the day of the Lord comes, the dress of the priest, do you know that, brother Ray? The clothes of the priest, it's already set. All they have to do is just get it, put it in, and they do the worship. But they said that the only problem is that the dome of the rock, they see that that's where they're gonna build the temple. And there's no way that the Jews could bulldoze that. Because that's where the Holy of Holies was set up. So the problem is that 80 million Muslims, once that the Dome of the Rock's gonna destroyed, there's 80 million Muslims that's gonna oppose against the 40 million Jews. Who do you think will win? So now the problem is that they say that the Holy of Holies is not on the Dome of the Rock. The Holy of Holies is in the Dome of the Spirit. It's in the tablet, which is outside of that Dome of the Rock. I didn't put it there, huh? There is that small canopy outside the Dome of the Rock. And that's where the Dome of the Spirit, or the Dome of the Tablets. Google that in your cell phone. Type in the Dome of the Tablets, or the Dome of the Spirit. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was located. And that's where the Jewish people is going to build the temple. The third temple, that's where they're going to have. So it's getting closer. Google that in your cell phone and then type in the Dome of the Angel, of the Spirit, or the Dome of the Tablets. Because tablets, that's where the Ark of the Covenant is. Amen? So God is working, waiting on the Lord. Are we still there? Waiting on the Lord allows God to do His work in our lives. Amen? So there's going to be a lot of people who's going to be surprised. Right, Brother Ray? There's something that it's a good thing that when you study, you learn more. Amen? So number four outline that we have, waiting on God increases my strength. Waiting on God, it increases my strength. And let's look up Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm sure you're familiar with Isaiah. Chapter 40. Are you all there? Chapter 40 and verse 31. This is a very famous verse. Are you all there? Are you there? It says, let's start verse 28. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. See? God's waiting. When we wait upon the Lord, it increases our strength. Amen? It increases our strength. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youth grows tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar of wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. So, when we wait upon the Lord, it will increase our strength. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Amen? See, the Apostle Peter wrote that with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. An economist once read those words and he got excited. He talked to the Lord. Lord, is it really true that 1,000 years for us is just like a minute to you? And the Lord said, it's true that 1,000 years is for just like a minute. But then, the economist says, then $1 million to us may be just a penny to you. And the Lord said, yes. Lord, would you give me that one of those pennies that you have? And the Lord said, wait here a minute. See, do you know that a Chinese bamboo, there's a seed, just one seed, you plant it? And do you know how many years to let that grow? 5 years, it's even just one bulb will come out. But then in 90 days, they will start to come out. So sometimes it's just like a, you know, you we don't know that there is a process, even though it's planted, it's underneath the ground, but the process, it's not seen, it's unseen, but the process start to process in our life, and that when it grows. Do you know that the bamboos could stand from the wind, even the strongest wind? Because there is a growth process that they have it's underneath the ground. Amen. And that while we were waiting, God is working in our life. And I remember this guy, the Lord told him, you know what? I want you to take this boulder in front of your house and I want you to push it. So this guy has been pushing. Every morning he wakes up and he come out from his front yard and is trying to push this boulder. And he's been doing it for a week. He kneeled down with his perspiration coming out from his head. And he said to the Lord,
look at it. I've been doing this for a week, and the boulder is not, it's not moving, even for an inch. The Lord said, you know, I didn't tell you to move it. I told you to push it. And he said, you know what? Look at those callus in your hand. Look at those muscles that you have built up. And see, and sometimes we think that God, you know what He wants us to do, we don't see what His plan and purpose for our lives. But as we obey Him, there's something that's working in each one of our lives. Amen. That even the, you know, there's three types there's three types of flights. You know the flights? Flying. The first one is what? The first one, I just remember this. The first one is by flapping. You know the bird could flap, right? Keeping their wings in constant motion. That, like the hummingbird. Have you seen the hummingbird? But it's a lot of work, right? And then the second flight is by gliding. There is some bird that just glide, but they're gliding. It will not go too far. And the third one, anybody could soaring. It's only the eagles and some of the birds that have that kind of ability to fly against a thermal or a hot weather. Through the hot weather, they could just put their wings and never work at it. They could fly a miles. They say that they can clock in 80 miles per hour for an eagle to just soar their wings without flapping it. And they can soar to that thermal, this warm weather. Because when they reach the high, there's a space there that's only warm weather, that area. That's where they progress. And I believe God made you an eagle. That with that, sometimes we go through to trials, to fiery trials in our life. You and I could soar higher. And that's what God wants to do. While we are waiting, amen? While we are waiting for Him, you know, I think the years before, there is a prediction that such and such time Christ will come, and people start to max out their credit card. They see that. See that? That's the idea of, you know, they max out their credit card, and Christ did not come. Do you know why? Because he wants to teach us the financial fitness. Amen. If you were here for five weeks, financial fitness, God wants you to have that financial fitness so that you can prove, so that you can be a star. Not only in Hollywood, but in the universe, that indeed you are a good manager. And that's why God tests us in finances. Because in finances, you know what? We cannot fake God. All He has to do is go back to the checkbook. Checkbook. And He will see who is your payee. Right? And you cannot fake God on this area. Amen. So while we're waiting, be a good manager. Your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your children, your relationship to your brothers and sisters, keep on doing. Paul says, continue. Continue what to do. And then the last thing that he said to his apostles before he left, right, on that upper room, he said, wait, because I'm going to give you the power that one of these days we're going to be caught with that wind that's coming in, the fresh wind that's coming in. Amen. But be patient. Amen. Be patient. What you're doing in there is continue that. Hallelujah. But still, you know, it's Pastor Ed, I don't know. What shall I do when I'm waiting? Anybody could give me one? What's that, Brother Ray? Share the gospel. That's the last thing he said. Go to all nations. And that's what his last indictment to all of us, to share the gospel. Amen. But don't panic. Don't get into this, you know, you consume with that when it's coming. Because when it's coming, he said, you know what? Those righteous people, they're not going to go through the wrath of God. Amen. You and I is not going to go to the wrath of God. Right? So don't worry about it. Just buy maybe 2 dozens of corned beef in there and and maybe a 15 sardines and spam and a bundle of rice and a 357. No, the 357. Amen. But don't get caught up with what we gonna do. You know what? God says the righteous, they're gonna escape from the wrath of God. Amen. My purpose is to, you know what? I remember the instructor in our church history. He said we asked one of the guy asked the teacher, where is your stand about the second coming? And he said, you know what? My stand is that God called me to do the preparation. He didn't call me to do the program. He called me to do the preparation. And the guys, what do you mean preparation? I'm here to just prepare you. About the program, that's somebody's job. So I'm here to just prepare you. Amen. Next month, there's so many things gonna come. There's so many events that it all went into that one, that month. 15, September 15 and 30, there's so many events that it's all coincide with that month. And there's so many things that's going on. But don't panic. God says, you know what? The righteous is not gonna go through the wrath of God. How many of you are not your righteousness, but the righteousness of God is upon you? Amen. If you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's where you're gonna be worrying. Amen. That's gonna be, because my desire is that you're prepared. Amen. You're prepared to what's gonna come. Amen. Maybe the 401k, I don't know. Amen. So I hope it answer your question. Or not. If it's not, I'm gonna do again another series next Sunday. Until we get it. Amen. Financial fitness, How many of you learned from that? That's one thing. What's one thing that you learned? God is the source? Okay, what else? Huh? God owns everything. Man, that is important. God owns everything. If we know that, man, you will be okay. Amen? Any questions, Sister Beck? Okay. Is it God's own everything? Sister Barb, you say that? You got a prize. Checkbook.
I like this.
Amen. Shall we all stand? Oh, hallelujah. Can we ask the worship team to come? Any testimony? Anything that you want to share with the church today to encourage the church? Anybody? Yeah, I just want to share with you. Yesterday, somebody pulled out an Elantra Hyundai in our driveway. And he said, Pastor Ed, I'm going to donate it to the church. It has 124,000 miles. So, if anybody needs a car, we have somebody donated, Sister Camille, a car. See, that's how blessed is you, how blessed is the church is. Amen. So I don't know. We have to talk to the elders about what we're gonna do with that, and we'll give you the decision. Okay. You need a van?
We need someone to pick up the members.
Sister Pia, pray for a van. Yeah, there you go. See? Pray for the van. Amen. Oh, did you guys get a car? Did you put a car? Amen. But just want to recognize Laila, no, Leilani? And, huh? Caleb! Oh my God. This guy used to be that one. And Lailani, Sister Rose, their teacher. Oh. But it's nice to have you here. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you. We enjoy your presence this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will, that you are with us, Lord, and fill us, Lord, with your wisdom and your knowledge. And as we deal with this, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, we always look out for his coming. Come, Lord, come and be with us, Lord God. And Father, we thank you today. And we pray, Father, that if there's any clouds in our minds, Lord, of what we're going to do, Lord God. We pray, Lord Jesus, that we have a direct communication, direct line with you, Lord God, that you tear down that wall between us, Lord, so that we may be able, Lord, to come to you freely, Lord God. And Lord, if there's any concern, Lord God, Father, we pray that you will answer us, that as we seek for an answer. We thank you, God, that you have the answer, Lord. And Father, we pray this morning, Lord, as you bless us with your word, Lord Jesus. Anything that's not from you, Lord, Father, we pray that you will take it out, Lord God. But bless those words that's from you, Lord God. And let it that we may ever savor the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ in our life and in this church. Thank you, Lord, Thank you for the blessings, Lord, that you have provided to all of us, Lord, to those who stand before you today. Let your blessings be a remembrance of your faithfulness to our life, Lord God. And Father, we thank you, Lord, today. Thank you for every person, every family that they are representing, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, that they may be able, Lord, to share the blessings that you have given to them, Lord, to other people, Lord God, that they will be able, Lord, to be the star, not of the Hollywood, Lord, to be the star of your kingdom, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah. We thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that as we bring our tithes and offering to you, Lord, Lord, we pray that we may be a good steward, be a good manager of the finances of your kingdom, Lord God. And Lord, we thank you and we bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah.